We have confidence in. Because we have confidence in the people that relay these bits of information to us, and how valuable this information is. So we will read the hadith that we have left for today, bismillah ta'ala. And at the end, for barakah, and for more than that, for some, we will again read the our sanad to this book, our chain of narration to this book. The first time I mentioned it, it was mistaken. But this time we'll do it correctly, bismillah ta'ala. So that each of us can say, you know what, I encountered a tradition that links myself to the beloved Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I am part of the tradition. And to be a source of barakah, that my name is part of a chain that links up to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So, with that in mind, with that as an incentive, we get into our hadith for today. The first one we have, so I think I should read what I said. وبسند متصل منا إلى الإمام الترمذي رحمه الله تعالى قال حدثنا محمود بن غيلان قال حدثنا أبو داود قال حدثنا شعبة عن قتادة قال سمعت عبد الله بن أبي عتبة رضي الله عنه يحدث عن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه قال كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أشد حياء من العذراء في خدرها. أبو سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه he narrates that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, so speaking about his character صلى الله عليه وسلم, he was more intense in his حياء, in his modesty صلى الله عليه وسلم. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم had more modesty من العذراء في جبرها than a virgin girl in her veil. Rasulullah s.a.w. had more modesty than that. It's a beautiful quality to have modesty. In fact, in other hadith, Rasulullah s.a.w. speaks out against telling people to have less modesty. Haya is a very important quality. Haya is something that keeps us back from doing whatever we want to do. In another hadith also, Rasulullah s.a.w. says, إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحْي فَاسْتَحْ مَا شِئْ. When you don't have any haya anymore, when you lose haya, you lose modesty, then you'll just do whatever you want to. And we see that's what happened in our world today. People have lost their haya, people have lost their modesty. And because of that, they do whatever they feel like. People wear clothes, their behinds are showing. Females want to, feminist movements nowadays, they want to have a topless movement. They don't want to wear tops anymore because why can't they do what the females can't do? This is totally contrary to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and who he was sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How can we claim to be the beloveds, or how can we claim to be the lovers of this beautiful person sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we want to oppose his one of his most salient characteristics, that he had such beautiful haya? So, despite the trend of the world, despite the way that people want to go and become less modest and less modest, we remind ourselves, no, that's not how our beloved was. He was a man of haya, a man who had more modesty than a virgin girl in her veil. So it should be a goal of ours to emulate the characteristic of Rasulullah, if for nothing else but the fact that it was a characteristic of his. وكان إذا كره شيئاً عرفناه في وجهه. When he صلى الله عليه وسلم disliked something, it could be seen on his face. He wouldn't speak about it, or he wouldn't complain about things, but when he really disliked something, and we spoke a little bit about that yesterday, what are the things that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم would dislike? When you become angry صلى الله عليه وسلم? When he served cold food? When there's too much salt in the food, when there's nothing better than barley bread and vinegar to eat in his house? Is that when he became angry, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? He didn't become angry for matters of his religion, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He became angry when the commands of Allah were broken. He became angry when Allah was displeased, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this speaks of something very profound. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was perfect in every way. And in that perfection, or that perfection is portrayed by the balance of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's not as if Rasulullah had no anger. He had anger at times, but at the right times. He had anger at the right times, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He had all of the, qualities are oftentimes neither good nor bad. It depends how the quality expresses itself. Sometimes you must have sternness, and sometimes you must be soft. But if you stern at the wrong time, it's a bad quality. If you soft at the wrong time, it's also a bad quality. But Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to teach us the perfect balance. The perfect balance of the Alhamdulillah. And that's what you must learn from him, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Next chapter that's selected is a chapter on the names of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. وبه إليه قال حدثنا سعيد بن عبد الرحمن المخزومي وغير واحد قال حدثنا سفيان عن الزهري عن محمد بن جبير بن مطعم عن أبيه رضي الله عنه قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم جبير بن مطعم رضي الله عنه he narrates that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said إن لي أسماء I have a number of names أنا محمد I am محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنا أحمد another name of رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم is أحمد أنا أحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنا الماحي and I am الماحي what is الماحي الذي يمحو الله بي الكفر the one ماحي means the one that wipes away but he صلى الله عليه وسلم explains it himself and he says I am the one with whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wipes away, eradicates disbelief. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَأَنَا الْحَاشِرُ أَلَّذِي يُحْشَرُ النَّاسُ عَلَىٰ قَدَمِي And I am al-hashir. I don't want to translate al-hashir. The gatherer. I am the gatherer. The one whom mankind will be gathered at my feet. Speaking about in the day of Qiyamah. I am the gatherer, the one whom mankind will be gathered at my feet. وَأَنَا الْعَاقِبُ And I am the lost. وَالْعَاقِبُ الَّذِي لَيْسَ بَعْدَهُ نَبِيٌّ What is that aqib referred to? I am that aqib, that lost one, whom there will be no nabi after. Meaning, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the seal of prophets. He is the last prophet to set foot on this earth. As a prophet of Allah, as a messenger of Allah. He is the last one on this earth to whom wahi will be given. Wahi of revelation that creates sharia. Via Jibreel alayhi salam. I know Mawlana Khalil spoke about this other day. Imagine that. Oh no, perhaps I was listening on the radio. Mawlana Ali last night. But that doesn't matter. It still remains that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the last one to whom revelation was given. After Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had passed, a sahabiya cried when she was visited by Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Umar radiallahu anhu. And she was asked, why are you crying? They cried also when they saw her crying. She said, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has left us, but because of the fact that now that he's gone sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wahi has stopped, he said. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was our connection to the divine. Imagine that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the means through which we got the message or the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can anyone benefit us more than that? Can anyone benefit us more than he benefited us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in being the means through which we received the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That
كلام of Allah سبحانه وتعالى that is a part of Allah سبحانه وتعالى it can't be fathomed in its totality. Can anyone do more for us than that?
People can try, but they will most certainly fail. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood head and shoulders above everyone else, you know, in the service that they did to us. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We continue. Speaking now, about coming to the end of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وبه الذي قال حدثنا أبو عمار الحسين بن حريث وقتيبة بن سعيد وغير واحد قال حدثنا سفيان بن عيينة عن الزهري عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال آخر نظرة نظرتها إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The last glance that I had to look at رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم was كشف السدارة يوم الاثنين, was when the veil or the curtain was opened on the Monday. What is this speaking about? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam coming to the end of his life, he suffered an illness. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He suffered an illness, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But there came a time in that illness where it seemed as if everything was becoming better. You know, the Sahaba were very sad, they were very worried, what's going to happen, the Rasulullah was passing away. And then, it seemed, Rasulullah lifted a veil and it seemed as if everything was better. Rasulullah was better, he looked healthy, everyone was happy that when he left the door, as we will come to see in the Hadith. Right? So, at this juncture, the Sahaba, they were praying Salah al Masjid, Rasulullah lifted the curtain, they could then see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says, فَنَظَرْتُ إِلَىٰ وَجْهِهِ كأنه ورقة مصحف. Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه says that I then looked to his face صلى الله عليه وسلم as if it was a page of a مصحف of a book, right? White, pure, radiant. He looked healthy صلى الله عليه وسلم. They hope that now everything is going to be better. Our beloved صلى الله عليه وسلم will remain with us. So that overjoyed them. والناس خلف أبي بكر. Whilst the people were behind Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه. What does this mean? When Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was in his sickness, he ordered somebody to lead us to salah. And who other than Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه? That one who loved him so much. Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه was ordered to lead the salah. So he was the imam of the Muslims in the salah while Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was sick. In fact, it's important to know that when the daughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Aisha radiallahu anhu, when Rasulullah first suggested that Rasulullah not let Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu leave the salam. Why did she say he must leave the salam? Because he cries too much. Imagine that. His heart is so soft, if he's just to read the Quran, he's going to cry. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refused. He repeated himself until they understood that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accept no one else to leave the salah besides Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. I think that's important to know. So here in this hadith, Anas radiallahu anhu mentions that the people were standing behind Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, meaning they were performing salah behind him radiallahu anhu. فَكَانَ النَّاسُ أَيْ يَطَّلِبُ. But when the people saw the curtain lifted and they saw Rasulullah, they started moving around and they became overjoyed. They became happy, you know. Rasulullah was sick. The inside happened. We just want to see him. We just want to see him. We just want to look at him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They started moving around and moving around. Imagine you were in their shoes. فَأَشَارَ إِلَى النَّاسِ أَنِثْبُتُ. But he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indicated to the people that they must stay where they are. That they must stay with them. They must carry on performing the salah behind Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. وَأَبُو بَكْرٍ يَأُمُّهُمْ وَأَلْقَى السِّجْدَ. They should stay where they are whilst Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was leading them in their salah. وَأَلْقَى السِّجْدَ. And he then also dropped the curtain. Anas radiallahu anhu mentions وَتُوُفِّيَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِالْآخِرِ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ. At the end of that day, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed on. In what way? What a beautiful scene. When did Rasulullah pass away? After seeing what's happened? After seeing the sight that pleased him, lifted the curtain. The people were overjoyed at the sight of him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was happy to see his companion Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu leading the people in salah. While his beautiful face, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was radiant and shining. And after this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed on to the next life. Because his role in this world, in this dunya, was complete. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given a choice between this world and between his Rabb. And he chose al-Rafiq al-A'la. He chose to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was confident after that, that with the leadership of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and the Sahaba that were around him, following him in salah, he was happy with his salah. He was happy at that moment that he had completed his task, he could meet his Lord. He could meet his Lord Azza wa Jalla. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us realize the beauty of the life of Rasulullah, the profound nature of the life of Rasulullah. That one man in a desert, in Arabia, in a part of the world that nobody wanted to conquer, because the people they were seen as ruffians and just disorderly people. A man in that desert received a message. And through his character and his effort and all that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him, we today, in the southernmost tip of Africa, we can sit here and read about his life to the T. Through information that we have more confidence in than any other history that we read, even recent history. Imagine that. Imagine the life of this man, this beautiful man, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who lived in the desert more than 1400 years ago because of his life. Because of 23 years in which he received wahi and spread that wahi. Because he dedicated his life to that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the entire world changed. The entire world changed. From a purposeless world to a purposeful world. Imagine that. It's hard to try and conceptualize the profoundness of that being, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we spoke about how he was a rahmah. So, a rahmah to everything. You know, just this morning, we were sitting at the table, we were speaking about Makkah and Medina and things like that. And something reminded me of a personal experience in my life. And it really encapsulates for me, you know, just how what a mercy he was to Allah. We spoke yesterday a little bit in the verse of poetry that we shared at the end of the lesson about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam coming to Medina. Do you remember? But what was Medina known as and known for before he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came here? It was called Yathrib. But what was it known for? Why was it called Yathrib? Because when people would go there, people would pass through there, they would become sick. They would become sick. But what about after him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? I can relate to you from my own life. From my own life. My own sibling was in 2013, from the beginning of the year, from actually from a little before that year, till about June, was extremely ill. Doctors couldn't say what was wrong. She was a young girl, lost a lot of her body weight. Doctors couldn't say what was wrong. She couldn't eat. She couldn't sleep comfortably, she had extreme pains in her stomach, she went for all of the scans, they can't find anything. They can't do anything, they can't find anything. She's in excruciating pain. She's losing body weight, what to do. My mother said, because, well, how can you bear to see your daughter in such pain? Everyone said, I couldn't bear it, my mother couldn't bear it, my father couldn't bear it. It's extremely hard to see. But we had planned to go on Umrah. So a bit more than 6 months later, she was had this sickness, whatever it was, Allahu A'lam, we don't even know. We still don't know. And then we decide to go to Umrah. Before we go to Umrah, it gets even worse. They're about to stay behind, our mother says, you know what, we plan everything, we pray for everything, everything sorted, but you know what? If I must, I'll stay behind with my daughter. She, my sister says, no. She wants to go. She wants to go. She wants to go to Medina. So we go, we get in the aeroplane. She becomes more sick as we go along. To such an extent that as we're in Joburg and we get to Jeddah, she can't walk, she can't stand up, she can't do anything, she can't eat, nothing. She's crying in the airport. She feels she's going to be a burden. We have to put her in a wheelchair because she can't walk. She's crying, and she's in pain, and she can't walk. We get to Medina. She's still in pain at the airport. They take her to the hotel. She still feels like she's going to be a burden to everyone. Now they must push her in a wheelchair, and she's still crying, and everyone's still sad. Fajr time comes. After Fajr, they give time for ladies to go to the room. But she's in a wheelchair. So because she's in a wheelchair, they let my mother push her first through to the room. SubhanAllah. And what a beautiful place to be. In the proximity of the beloved Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In the garden of Jannah. And then we come back to the hotel, I met up with him a bit later. I come back, they drank some zamzam. My mother told us to drink zamzam to remember the shifa that's in it. And remember what Mawlana Muhammad reminded us of? That he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, spat into that well of zamzam. And so till this very day, that the barakah, that saliva is found in that well of zamzam. Mawlana mentioned some of the sources. Sheikh Ahmed Dahlawi writes it in his book and others as well. He says that it's reliable information. But even so, we come back to the hotel. And my sister asks my mother, can I get something to eat? Mommy, I'm hungry. And my mother's like, SubhanAllah, you didn't want to eat for 6 months. I had to force you to eat. We just here for a moment. We just drank that zamzam. We heard the company of Rasulullah in this blessed place for a few moments. And now that we. And wallahi al-azim, from that moment, she was cured. She was, there was nothing wrong with her. She regained her body weight. She was beaten. That place that was known for sickness. That place that was known for sickness. After he came, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it became a place of shifa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take us the full man. Just grant us his company, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His rahmah remains, we should never even think that his rahmah is gone. His rahmah remains, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His rahmah for us in this world, in the next world, is just the rahmah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can't fathom. Just don't do what the Nasara did regarding the Messiah. Don't ascribe divinity to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't say he's a Lord, don't say he's part of the Trinity, don't worship him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No. We don't do that. He's the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Da'atun Nasara fi nabihim. وَحْكُمْ بِمَا شِئْتَ فِيهِ مَنْهًا وَحْتَكِمْ. Then after that, praise him as you please. وَانْسُبْ إِلَى ذَاتِهِ مَا شِئْتَ مِنْ شَرَفٍ وَانْسُبْ إِلَى قَدْرِهِ مَا شِئْتَ مِنْ عِظَمٍ. After that, ascribe any honor to his being that you want. Describe any ability to his... Describe any grandeur to him that you want. فَإِنَّ فَضْلَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ لَيْسَ لَهُ
حد فيعجب عنه ناطق بفمه. Because the fadl of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, the virtue of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم has no bound that any speaker can articulate. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us know that beautiful being صلى الله عليه وسلم. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the company of the beautiful being صلى الله عليه وسلم. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not deprive us of seeing him in our dreams and having his company the year after and just getting whatever benefit he is to get from him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These little beings that we are, Ya Allah, these impure beings that we are, not worthy of anything really, Ya Allah, don't deprive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, don't deprive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, don't deprive us, Ya Allah. We are not asking you because of what, because our deservingness, Ya Allah. We are not asking you because we have any rightful claim to it, Ya Allah. We are asking you because of your mercy, because of your favor, because of your fadl, Ya Allah, because of your karam, Ya Allah. Because of the love that your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Allah, we are hopeful that because of that, because of the little bit of love that we might have for him, that he might want to love us and he might want to see us as well. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At times in Allah, we started a couple of hadith.
Rasulullah was merciful, remember?
That's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse because of that love that Thawban radiallahu anhu had. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ Whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ Those people that obey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will be amongst those upon whom Allah has bestowed His favor of the prophets and the martyrs and the pious ones and the truthful ones. What we learn from that? Well, our effort to just obey Him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we can be in His company sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obviously, it's not really our effort, it's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, we must remember that even just through loving Him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we can attain His company sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As weak as we may be, we falter, we try to obey Him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We try to obey His every command, but we're human, at times we fail. At times we fall short. But what a mercy He was that even just our loving Him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can be a means of us attaining His company in the heart. The Sahabi came asking Him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when is the Sahab? When is the end of times? Rasulullah asked Him, what have you prepared for Him? The Sahabi said, not much. I didn't prepare lots of salah and lots of fasting. ولكنني أحب الله ورسوله. I didn't prepare lots of prayer. I didn't prepare lots of fasting for the Lord. But you know, I love Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? أنت مع من أحب. You will be with those who you love. You will be with those who love. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that. وبه إليه قال حدثنا محمد بن حاتم قال حدثنا عامر بن صالح عن هشام بن عروة عن أبيه عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت توفي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم الاثنين. عائشة رضي الله عنها سيدة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم passed away on Monday. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم passed away on Monday. And we move on to the last chapter that we have taken a hadith on, and that is the chapter of seeing رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم in your dream. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that. If I may ask, has anybody seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us see many times. I was just going to say, if any of you did, make to Adatah, let me also see. وبه إليه قال حدثنا محمد بن بشار قال حدثنا ابن أبي علي جعفر قال حدثنا عوف بن أبي جميلة عن يزيد بن فارس وكان يكتب المصاحف قال والتابعي هو one of the calligraphers, one of the scribes of the Quran. He said رأيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في المنام زمن ابن عباس. He says I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in my dreams during the time of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was still alive. قال and then he says فقلت لابن عباس then I said to Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu إني رأيت Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam في النوم. He goes to Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu and he tells him, you know, Ibn Abbas, I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in my sleep. فقال ابن عباس Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu then said to him, إِنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ كَانَ يَقُولُ That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say,
إن الشيطان لا يستطيع أن يتشبه بي. شيطان does not have the ability to resemble me. فمن رآني في النوم فقد رآني. So whoever has seen me in his sleep has seen me. Whoever has seen me in his sleep has seen me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants that. So you ask him, هل تستطيع أن تنعت هذا الرجل الذي رأيته في النوم؟ So check, he asks him, can you then describe to me this person that you saw in your sleep? فقال نعم. قال نعم. The tabi'i then said, Yazid al-Farsi, he then said, yes I can. أنعت لك رجلا بين الرجلين. He says, I described to you a person between two men, meaning a person of medium stature. جسمه ولحمه أسمر إلى البياض. His complexion was like close to white, but with a tinge of like redness or another color. أكحل العينين. He صلى الله عليه وسلم had eyes that were that seemed lined with كحل وسرما. حسن الضحك. حسن الضحك. He صلى الله عليه وسلم had a beautiful smile, a beautiful laugh. جميل دوائر الوجه. He had a beautiful roundness in his face. صلى الله عليه وسلم. ملأت لحيته ما بين هذه إلى هذه. His beard filled from here to here. Meaning between his ears, his beard, صلى الله عليه وسلم, filled that space. قد ملأت نحره. And it filled his, the front of his chest. صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أوصف ولا أدري ما كان مع هذا النعت. I don't remember what were the other descriptions that he gave. فقال ابن عباس. ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما said, لو رأيته في اليقظة ما استطعت أن تنعته فوق هذا. ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما then tells him, had you seen him here, you wouldn't have been able to describe him better than you have. Meaning that the person that you saw in your dream really was himself. It can't have been anyone else. Shaitan can't take his own soul. It really was him. And that is the last hadith that we have selected in the selection of hadith on the Shaitan. We ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deprive us of seeing him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and him being his company in the hereafter. He closest to me. How beautiful is it that the companion comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asks him, how much of my time should I spend with you salawat? How much of my time should I, like my time that I allocate for dua and things like that, how much of it should I spend making dua? And he gives a fraction. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if you increase it, it will be, that's fine. If you increase it, it's better for you. He gives a greater fraction. Something like, start out maybe with a third, then a half. Half of my time for just salawat, Rasulullah says, fine. But if you increase, it's better for you. And then he increases the fraction. Should I perform salawat, this greater amount of time? Rasulullah says, that's fine, but if you increase, it's better for you. He then says, you know what? Then I'm just going to spend all my time making salawat. I'm just going to spend all my time making salawat. Rasulullah tells him, if you do that, إِذَنْ تُكْفَى هَمَّكْ. If you do that, imagine this being sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a connection he must have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must have in him. That if we just constantly send salawat on him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the guarantee that he gives us? And that guarantee comes through wahi. Through wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ وَإِلَّا وَحِي يُوحَىٰ. What did he say? إِذَنْ تُكْفَى هَمَّكْ. If we make salawat all the time, all your worries will be in you. It will suffice you for all your worries. إِذَنْ تُكْفَى هَمَّا وَيُغْفَرْ لَكَ ذَمَّا. And your sins will be forgiven. صلى الله عليه وسلم. صلى الله عليه وسلم. صلى الله عليه وسلم. It's just too hard to fathom. That if I constantly make salawat, send salawat and salams upon this being صلى الله عليه وسلم, If I do that constantly, Allah will remove all my worries. Dunya, it doesn't say only in the dunya, it doesn't say only in the akhirah. Allah will remove all my worries and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive my sins. What is my worry? My worry is, am I going to get to Jannah? That means I'm going to get to Jannah because the salawat is a place. My worry is that I'm going to be deprived of this company, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in making that salawat, that worry is. My worry is that I'm going to be deprived of that. Looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the year through that salawat, the worry is taken care of. Imagine that. It's something hard to, to fathom and conceptualize, to realize, but it's beautiful. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would make such a reward for sending salawat and his beloved. How beloved must it be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And I've mentioned some worries, but worries can increase, even though they have come back worries. But all worries can be seen towards salam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us continue to learn about it. This is just a glimpse into the life of us. We have a few hadith from a compilation of 400. But there's an ocean of a hadith out there that we should learn. And more importantly, we should implement in our lives. When we learn one, we implement. When we learn one, we implement. When we learn one, we implement. It's not just about reading and knowing. That love that we have must drive us to action. That love that we have for him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, must drive us to want to be like him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How do we be like him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? By loving his sunnah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By loving his sunnah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us the embodiments of the sunnah. Really, if we become the embodiments of the sunnah, no one can point a finger at Muslims. No one will be able to point a finger at Muslims. And even if they point a finger, they'll go in their hearts, you know what, I actually love that person because they just saw me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and grant us understanding. Just make us the embodiments of the sunnah. And as I promised, I will now read the 7th in Al-Tahana to this book and give you jazz. I will say after reading it that I just took on Fima Qaratu Alaykum. I give you ijaz in what I have read, and then after that you just say Qabiltu. I'm sure most people will know that you said when they're reading it. So, أنبأني شيخي ومولانا محمد طاهر بن يوسف كرام حفظه الله عن السيد حامد بن علوي الكاف المكي عن الشيخ ياسين الفاداني وقال قال الشيخ ياسين أرويها عن الشيخ عمر حمدان المحرسي محرسي عن السيد حسين بن محمد الحبشي عن أبيه المفتي السيد محمد بن حسين الحبشي المكي عن السيد عبد الله بن علي بن شهاب بن شهاب الدين عن السيد أبي بكر بن عبد الله بن أحمد الهندواني عن السيد حامد بن عمر بن حامد عن أبيه عن السيد عبد الله بن علوي الحداد عن السيد أقيل ابن عبد الرحمن بن محمد بن علي عن أبيه عن السيد محمد بن علي ابن عبد الرحمن السقاف عن أبيه عن القاضي السيد محمد بن حسن عن العلامة أحمد بن حجر الهيثمي عن الحافظ الجلال عبد الرحمن بن أبي بكر السيوطي قال أخبرنا بها شيخنا البهاء الحضرمي الحلبي ومحمد عبد الرحمن بن محمد ابن محمد ابن العبد القاهر النصيبي وغيرهما قالوا
أخبرنا بها عبد الكريم ابن عثمان العجمي. قال أخبرنا افتخار الدين أبو هاشم عبد المطلب بن الفضل الهاشمي. قال أخبرنا أبو شجاع عمر بن محمد الإسباني. ح. وقال السيوطي وأخبرني عاليا علم الدين البلقيني عن عمر البالسي. قال أنبأتنا زينب بنت الكمال المقدسية سماعا عن عجيبة بنت أبي بكر البغدادية عن القاسم بن الفضل. قالا أي بن الفضل وأبو شجاع. أخبرنا أبو القاسم أحمد بن محمد الخليلي. قال أخبرنا أبو القاسم علي بن محمد بن أحمد الخزاعي. قال أخبرنا أبو سعيد الهيثم بن كليب الشاشي. قال حدثنا به مؤلفه الحافظ أبو عيسى محمد بن عيسى بن سورة الترمذي. أجيزكم بهذا السند بالكتاب الشمائل المحمدية للإمام الترمذي. بارك الله فيكم. What I basically done now, I agreed to, I said that my teacher, Mawlana Tala, he informed me, or he gave me ijaza in this book, which he received from Sayyid Hamid bin Alawi al-Kaf, who received or transmitted this book from a Sheikh al-Musnid Yasin al-Faidani, who received this book or who left this book from the person that I mentioned first after him, etc., 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 until eventually we got to Sheikh al-Tirmidhi, Imam Muhammad ibn Isa al-Tirmidhi. The one sanad is very beautiful in that most of the narrators in that sanad are from the Ahlul Bayt of Rasulullah SAW. They are from the family of Rasulullah SAW. And so, in attaining that connection to Imam Tirmidhi and to Rasulullah SAW, we also attain the connection with lots of the Ahlul Bayt. And especially someone that's very dear to us in Cape Town, because a lot of our tradition comes from Muslim, Abdullah ibn Alawi al-Haddad. And we know the Ratib ibn Haddad, all those things that we said, yeah. It comes from him. It's compiled by him. So it's a beautiful sanad that we have a lot of connections to, a lot of links to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us and increase us in knowledge and increase us in our connection with Rasulullah SAW from every angle. From every angle, we mustn't forget. We must never forget. We must never forget that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of that link to Rasulullah SAW, the first thing he says in the Quran is what? فَاتَّبِعُونِ. Right? It must result in ittiba' of Rasulullah SAW. It must result in us emulating him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in implementing that sunnah in our lives. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm just going to ask Brother Muhammad, if there's a short time, I think I'm going to ask. I ask for nothing else that you might go after, be good to us. And all of the other things that are involved in all of these things, those that made this possible. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in our love for you and in Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all things related to
him. Any chance that you can just repeat the salawat that you did before you started? Just a minute.
Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin النبي الأمي وعلى
we can feel all from the illuminated hearts that we find here, and hopefully, inshallah, continue that and continue that, carry on with it, inshallah. And we hope and pray that, you know, this mustn't be the last time that we, you know, today we can have a few majalis, but it mustn't be the last time. You know, we have now become brothers in the true sense of this word, and brothers in Islam. You know, that's the white body is the, you know, biological bond, the familial bond, but this is a stronger bond, this is a spiritual bond. So we need to keep this bond going, you know, beyond Ramadan. You know, up until we meet again for the next Ramadan, we take it up to the next level again. But throughout the course of the year, inshallah, we must put plans into place. Inshallah, we try to do the work, we must come forward. Ali Sahib, for the year now. No, you don't worry about the task, Habibi. You just worry about the niyyah. Allah didn't say you would. You have time to do it, you have money to do it, you have resources to do it. Allah doesn't know. That's the problem. We want, all Allah wants is the heart to be. And then Allah will facilitate everything. Your heart is ready, Habibi. The beam. Everybody ready. We must make a firm intention, resolution. We've gained. Look, from us, they say, whatever, I've still the same weekend. But alhamdulillah, some progress is happening. But we're not going to turn back. Inshallah, from now on, we're going to, you know, we're going to go forward and forward and forward, inshallah, together, collectively. We might not be able to do it alone, but when we come together, you know, we're able to assist one another and stand together. We like the building, you know, we support one another. When you're standing alone sometimes, you know, you can't stand so long. But now when you stand with your Muslim brother next to you, give you some encouragement, this and the other, we feel we can just go the extra mile. So inshallah, we must maintain this, you know, going after Ramadan, inshallah. We might not be able to do the same intensity that we do in the month of Ramadan, but make an intention that Allah is not going to go back. You know, whatever we've heard in terms of all the durus, whatever we've heard, inshallah, we're going to make that part of our lives, inshallah, and we're going to go forward in a sensible way, mature way, in a way that we are not only move forward ourselves, but we take our family with us as well. You know, this reformatory measure that takes you and you go out and you leave your family behind, but you must join the other reformatory movement. That's not the right movement. You know, Quran, one of the things about Quran I talk about is not only about you as an individual, it's about you as an individual within the family, within the community. We grow together and we move forward together. So may Allah accept, inshallah. Amen. Sheikh Zakaria, I'm used to calling him Zakaria. You know? No, they call him one house. Mashallah. Allah bless Sheikh Zakaria, Mawlana Zakaria, increasing one of our young examples. You know, Allah wanted to accept Allah increasing in his love for the Prophet. Because his love for the Prophet was such that it became like infectious. Through the love of the Prophet, so that we feel also that we want to know. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us and that also love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and get closeness to him. And we say amen to his dua that one day we will see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I remember one day I said to my wife, you know Habib Ali, his family at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I woke up one morning, so I said, hey, I saw Habib Ali in a dream. So my wife laughed at me, she said, don't worry, you're getting there. So just slowly, inshallah, we'll get baby in the last one. That's why my dua also included there.